From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. You know, love can find you in the most unexpected of places, even in the afterlife, wearing some pretty embarrassing pajamas after choking on a really questionable burger. Now, it may not be the meet cute that every girl dreams of, but hey, who said romance was easy? Certainly not Kirsty Greenwood, author of July's GMA book club pick, The Love of My Afterlife. And she joins us now to talk more about her newest release. Kirsty, we are thrilled to have you on the program.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so for folks who haven't read the book yet, can you give us just a quick summary?
Yes. So The Love of My Afterlife is about a character called Delphi, who's a little bit of a curmudgeon. She's a little bit of a recluse. She doesn't have many close friends and she's never had an intimate relationship. And on the first page of the book, Delphi dies and she's sent into the afterlife. And in the afterlife, she's offered a deal. She can go back to Earth for 10 days. And if in those 10 days she can find her soulmate and get him to kiss her, then she'll get to stay alive and have a second chance at life.
Where in the world did you get the idea for this story?
You know, it's funny because it was like a bunch of different ideas that I'd had separately. And they all kind of like melded into one idea in my mind one day. And I just got really excited and I emailed my agent and I was like, is this anything that, you know, could make a good book? And she immediately emailed back with yes in capital letters, like a million exclamation points, and was like, you have to write this. But mostly it was just kind of a number of different ideas in my head about people who met in the afterlife and had to find each other back on Earth. And then also the desire to write a kind of grumpy and introverted protagonist, which was slightly based on myself.
So I want to talk a little bit more about that then, because I think Delphi is a really, honestly, an endearing character. But she struggles with something that I think a lot of people struggle with, and that's making connections. But as an adult, I mean, that's harder than I think we recognize when we're, you know, growing up, right? So can you talk to us a little bit about this and how you really wanted to maybe develop that as part of her character?
Yeah, of course. So it is like I moved to London and, you know, was looking for a fresh start and I was feeling very isolated and I knew I had to make friends. And it's not like when you're at school and you can just go up to somebody and say, you know, do you want to play with the dolls or do you want to go on the swing? You know, you can't really do that as an adult. It's a lot more awkward and, you know, we're busy. A lot of people already have their friend circles like set. So it feels a little bit like you're trying to infiltrate into that. But I found that surprisingly in London that people were really receptive, and also looking for new friendships, all different kinds of friendships, you know, really deep ones where you're having like full life story conversations, or even just if it was somebody to just say hello to day to day or go to see a show with. And I really liked the idea of putting a character like Delphi into that scenario where she just has to step out of her comfort zone and kind of go through all these awkward moments, those awkward moments at the beginning of every new friendship where you're trying to get to know somebody and you're trying to show the best version of yourself and hoping that it will develop into something meaningful. I thought that was just really juicy material for comedy and also emotion as well.
Well, the thing is I think people sometimes forget that friendship is just like any other relationship, right? And you kind of have to like date, right? To find the friends who fit for you, and you have to put yourself out there or you will just sit in your apartment all by yourself.
Exactly. And it's so easy to do that. I thought I was happy doing that for a long time. Like Delphi, you know, she thinks that everything is fine. She's happy to be watching true crime documentaries and, you know, being alone. She reframes it as her being a lone wolf, you know, but she is isolated and she's sad. And I noticed that I felt so much better even after having the smallest interactions with people. You know, we're built for human connection. And, you know, I thought it was really lovely to kind of show that through Delphi.
You know, one of the other things I really love about your writing is that you make so many great pop culture references, which I mean, I really think it adds to the richness of the character and really this world that you're building. So can you talk to us a little bit about what that process looks like for you, like that writing process?
Yeah, I mean, I think because I write first person present tense, my aim is to get the reader into the shoes of the character as closely as possible, almost so that they feel like they are the character and they're experiencing the twists and turns and the emotions, you know, alongside her. So I guess a lot of my personality comes through in that because, you know, there's no other choice but to let it come through. I think if I was writing third person, I would be able to separate myself a little more. But certainly in the first draft, you know, it is a lot of my voice, and I am obsessed with pop culture. And so while Delphi didn't have many pop culture references, because she's quite isolated and doesn't really, you know, she's not really an internet person, and she doesn't really read romance novels, I wanted to put that into Merritt. So Merritt is a big romance novel fan. And in the romance community, we kind of reference authors and moments in romance books just as a part of our general conversation, because we are so obsessed and part of that fandom. So it was really fun to kind of draw on that for the character of Merritt, and have her just be someone who, you know, was so obsessed with these books and these authors that she wanted to bring them into every conversation and every scenario. Yeah.
You know, I think you're incredible. I think you're incredibly funny. I think there's so much levity in the book. But at the same time, you really took on some heavier topics. I mean, you write about loss and grief in the book. I mean, you write about chosen family. So how do you do both, right? How do you make it so funny, but at the same time, you know, as I said, just these heavy issues that, frankly, once again, I think we all at some point deal with.
Yeah, I think it's so universal, and, you know, it's not something that I want to be afraid to write about. But I also know that in my experience and in the experiences of people that I know, the darkest times in life can often be the funniest. Sometimes, you know, you can be in a really dark situation and the absurdity of it will strike you and you will just laugh and laugh, and there's something about laughing that feels hopeful. It's almost like, I don't know, there's just that contrast, that extreme contrast between darkness and comedy. I think it heightens both of them. You know, I think things are funnier when they're tragic, you know, in a dark way.
Right.
And I thought it just made for better comedy. The stakes are higher. You know, the situations are more absurd. There's more desperation going on. So emotions are, you know, are bigger than they would ordinarily be. And I am a person who sees life in quite a dark way, I guess. But also the way that I temper that is to also look for the funny moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. It's kind of like that saying, right? Like if I'm laughing because if not, I'll cry. So
exactly.
I mean,
exactly,
really.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it about this genre that you really love? I mean, because as you said, especially about Merritt, you know, how she loves this, you know, this, you know, the romance and those types of novels. And I have to say, I'm a sucker for chick lit. I love it, right? And I'm not ashamed to say that, because I think sometimes there's kind of this idea that you're kind of vapid if you like this kind of writing.
Yeah, and that's bonkers and wrong. You know, literary snobs are, I don't think they read romance, because I think if they did, they would see that it's it's deep and it's emotional and it's about human mm-hmm. connection and it's about all of the important things in life. You know, what's more important than love? That's why we're getting up every day. You know, that's why we're working so hard, because of love for people. And it's funny because I personally, when I read, I want to be entertained. I want to escape from mm-hmm. the tricky parts of life. And romance gives that to us. It is comforting and it allows us to step into the shoes of other people and experience things that we might not be brave enough to experience in real life and to say and do things that we wouldn't necessarily do. But we get that same buzz through the character. So I like to be swept away when I read, and that's what I want to provide when I write a book. Something that's going to take someone away from their worries and leave them laughing and feeling uplifted. And I think it's completely the best genre to do that. That's why I'm obsessed with it. And the craft levels of these authors, some of these authors, they are, you know, they take this very seriously. This is mm-hmm. not a throwaway genre. It's not for me. I take it very seriously, you know, because I love it so much.
Yeah, no, I so agree with you. You know, I have to say, there has been so much positive feedback about this book. I mean, as I mentioned, I mean, you were GMA's July Book Club pick. What has that been like for you to have, you know, this out in the world and then to get the response you're getting about it?
Yeah, it's honestly been crazy because I was, I guess what you would call a mid-list author before this. I had quite a small group of readers. Lovely. I was, you know, I was happy in that space, but obviously mm-hmm. I always, you know, I'm ambitious. I want to reach more people. And then when this happened, we were so surprised and stunned. And then to get the reviews that we're getting now is just, it's honestly, it feels crazy. And I feel very, very lucky. And it's made me even more excited for the next one, because I want to make these readers, these new readers, even happier, you know. So I mm-hmm. feel like I've got a little spark in my belly now about the next book, because I'm desperate for them to read the next. I you know, I want them to have the best possible time, because they've taken this one, which I didn't really have any expectations about, because people have taken this to their hearts. I'm raring to go now. It's given me such a buzz. It's been wonderful.
Okay. So speaking of what you're doing next, my understanding is that you're already working on your next novel. Can you give us any hint about it?
I can, yes. I'm midway through. So, you know, it's subject to change in terms of what happens. But I can tell you that it's called Sexy Spooky Love Story. It's set in the Scottish Highlands. And it's about a woman who fled her hometown when she was 18 after the death of her best friend. And she has to go back for a job. And she's haunted by the ghost of her best friend, who is horrified at what a stick in the mud she's become. And while all this is happening, she's also interacting with her high school enemy, this man who at high school was a real geek and is now more like a Greek god. And they have a kind of enemies to lovers thing going on. So she's trying to kind of look cool in front of him. Meanwhile, she's being haunted by the ghost of her chaotic best friend, who is trying to get her to be the wild child that she used to be when they were teenagers.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait for this. This sounds amazing. It has
Thank
been.
You. I need to work on the elevator pitch, I think. I'm really excited about it.
Hey, look, the moment you said she's being haunted by her best friend, I'm thinking back to like my high school and college best friends. They're still alive, but I mean, they would haunt me, and man, there would be stories to tell. So it's.
And they would be like, amazing. Why is she no funny? Why is she a grown up now? You know?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on?
Like when we were 17 and 18 and being crazy and wild.
Right. And you're like, time and place for that. Christy, yeah. It has been, it has just been such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for taking time for us.
Thank you. It's been lovely.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.